Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick, author of the brilliant new book, Becoming All Elite, which is available to pre-order right now, whatculture.bigcartel.com. And quick plug, we did an entire podcast talking all about that yesterday, which is available right now, wherever you get your podcasts from. But anyway, Sidg, we are here to look ahead to Rampage, and you know what that means. Rampage day and the card's looking perky. The perfect watch is you're still full of turkey. Baker and Rio, a Black Friday deal. Watch it, like Bulldog's automobile. Best Radiohead album? OK Computer. Plus we get Cold Fish, Orange and Utah. When Eddie's finished, Garcia's gonna hobble. So let's look ahead while the turkeys say...
You dickhead, you got there at the end. You got there at the end.
Did I half pop?
Half pop.
For what was the thing?
Bulldog's automobile.
Yeah, half pop, and then I got a big pop at the end. Yeah, I'm up for this show. I'm probably going.
It always feels so weird to transition into that for a show that we actually do look forward to.
I know. Keep the games for NXT 2.0. I'm heads up. I'm probably going to lose my voice halfway through this podcast. Just felt like rubbish all week. I've done my test. I've passed it, passed negative. But yeah, so I might lose my voice. So you might have to carry it with the analysis, Wilborn.
Good luck, everyone.
But no, I'm up for this. There's two matches that I'm particularly interested in. One performer I've been begging to watch on television in a featured capacity for the entire year, at least since Double or Nothing. And I've heard a non-spoiler report that the show is excellent from a loyal follower. So I forget their name, so I apologize. But always nice to know that it's worth paying attention to, because I got nothing like that last week.
Yeah, I think sometimes you look at these cards and you go, there's one big headline match and then there's just a bit of filler or maybe just like a squash or something on there. I look at this and I think all three matches are going to be great, and sort of in my head, I know this is not how it works, but just give them all 20 minutes, basically, on Rampage. Cold Fish, Cassidy and Ute is going to be great. We'll talk in due course about what on earth Eddie Kingston's going to do to Daniel Garcia after he said what he said and did what he did. But let's start, I assume, with your allusions there, with the person you're really looking forward to appearing back on AEW TV, that being Riho. She faces Britt Baker in this Black Friday deal match. If Riho wins, she gets herself a title shot.
I can't wait for this because I've missed Riho immensely. I think she's absolutely tremendous. I think even from a strategic point of view, she was popping quarter hours like big in the early phase of Dynamite on which she was featured.
Did that surprise you?
No, she's enchanted arena since day one. I think she's a really marketable performer. Like, I'm a cynical bastard of a human being, right? Like, I don't like kitsch stuff. I don't like twee stuff. Mm-hmm. I've got a very dark sense of humor. I'm a bit of a ghoul when it comes to my pro wrestling violence. And yet, Riho and Yuka Sakazaki, when when I first clasped eyes on both of those performers at Double or Nothing 2019, I was just enchanted. Mm. Like, they had such a great act, the pair of them. Like, this really charming, endearing element to their work. And yet, when they go up the gears, like, they're both great workers. Like, they're very charming. They come out, like, but a different kind of charm, where Yuka Sakazaki does the full kawaii, like, super cutesy thing, where Riho is more like a really timid, naive, like, just looks like she should not be doing being a professional wrestler.
She looks like Gust of Wind's going to blow her over.
Absolutely. So she's got sort of like timid, like, oh, I'm happy to be here, but I'm a little bit apprehensive about what I'm going to do.
But I did cave Nyla Rose's head in.
Yeah, it was awesome. But that, she knows what she's doing, yeah. What a worker. So, like, my favorite thing about Riho's act is that, like, start of a match, she'll put nout behind those forearms, and it looks like she's incapable of putting anything behind those forearms. Then she gets swatted away by, like, a Nyla Rose, because that feud was quite famous at the early phase of Dynamite. I put it over big time in my books. I love it. And then when she gets battered, she summons the fire from the crowd who just fall for her. So I honestly think, like, I know that she had a bad reaction to the vaccine. Not that you shouldn't get them, just to make that perfectly clear. But she had a bad reaction. So that explains her absence. But, you know, she's been working, like, Dark and Elevation for a while. I put her on friggin' telly. Like, from a strategic point of view, she was doing numbers. She always gets a reaction. People go mad for that awesome theme tune. She's a great worker, totally unique. And it's kind of a disgrace that they haven't positioned her in, like, just a grudge rivalry beneath the title picture, and it's more of an indication that does AEW care that much about presenting women's wrestling. So I'm ecstatic to see her return. I expect the match to be very, very good indeed. And I haven't read a single spoiler, so I might just be naive with this. But I think it's time for Britt Baker to take a loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting that Riho then eventually takes a title offer. But I think if you look at the way they do these championship runs, all of them are very lengthy. And at a certain point, a champion takes a fall because you don't want to suffer from the Roman Reigns effect of, oh, there's no point investing in this. There's absolutely no point in investing in this very long title reign if it's all too obvious that someone's going to get beat. So if you look historically, Jericho took a pin off Scorpio Sky amidst an otherwise, like, really lengthy protected reign. Kenny Omega took one to Christian Cage. And the Young Bucks took one to Eddie Kingston and Penta, if you remember, earlier this year. It always resonates as a shock because they've done such a good job of establishing the champion. And if you look back, May was when Baker won that title. It is now deep in November. I truly think it's time to have one pinfall absorbed, leading to a title match, because otherwise we're all just kind of waiting for them to get a Thunder Rosa at this point.
Exactly.
They need to add a wrinkle to it. I think Riho's the perfect wrestler to benefit from that.
And it just works far better for me in this scenario. And I know, I think it's a bit of a lazy take from, well, what do you call them? Bad faith actors.
Yes.
If they say, oh, you slag off WWE for doing a match to set up a match. But for me,
you've got to do the things to do at some point, because
absolutely,
they're wrestling things.
And
it's
like
been happening since the dawn of wrestling time.
The fact that Baker's gone with, you know, Tay Conti and previous challenges that she's had, she's not really faced them in one-on-one action prior to that. It's been not off the top of my head can I remember a recent example of that, for example. So her suddenly losing in this match to set up a Riho title match works quite nicely, like you say, of like, oh, bollocks, if that happens again, this thing that I, you know, is so precious to me, I gave thanks for on Thanksgiving, is gone. And that she really can sell that. And the fact that her posse's in a bit of disarray with obviously all the stuff going on with Jamie Hayter as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Jamie Hayter tonight could conceivably get her own back, if you like, which could excuse the fact that it's not really a clean pinfall loss. So I like that element to it as well. In fact, it would be quite deft if that is the case.
Well, it could just be, if you want to do it without too shenanigan-y, Hayter takes out Rebel and doesn't really care, and then Britt Baker's like, what's going on? And then Riho can, rather than her clobbering Baker, for example.
I mean, there's loads of things he can do. One last thing before we move on as well is, like, Riho's a really great opponent if they are adamant that Britt Baker must, in fact, be a heel. If at the end of all this, Dr. Britt Baker screws Riho in the second match and just cheats against her, you might actually swing the booze back into a favour. No one's ever not going to do the DMD thing live in the arena, but in terms of the actual context of the match, like, it can only help Thunder Rosa when she eventually beats Baker for the title. It can only help if people are more prepared to boo Britt Baker. A 50-50 reaction in that match, I know I'm going on a tangent here, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but you absolutely want to do everything possible to avoid Britt Baker being so over and such a babyface that Thunder Rosa kind of toils in her shadow. So
yeah.
I think this is quite an intelligent bit of booking.
And a bit like they did on Dynamite, you could do something similar. I don't know why this has popped into my head. Something similar to when The Rock came back and he was a heel and everyone was like, do the finally. And he'd do it, but he'd sort of turn it, you know, to slag off the local town or whatever. She can put the finger up about to do the DMD and then just not do it. And the, no, give it to us, would automatically instigate some boos. We'll talk about Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia in a few minutes. But Cole and Fish take on Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta tonight. Hanfler pointed out a nice point to me that I think he saw on maybe Squared Circle, along with your post on the front page of Squared Circle recently.
I'm honoured.
Cole saying to Yuta, what kind of name, or maybe it was Fish to be fair, what kind of name's Yuta as well? And he said, told me that Yuta translates into best friends, effectively, which is a nice bit of, detail that they've added there. But this is not straightforward, but a victory nonetheless for Cole and Fish, do you reckon?
Yes, absolutely. It's a means of making Adam Cole look more like a star than he has in the past 3 or 4 weeks. He's Teflon to, I wouldn't say he's been poorly booked, but he's clearly in the background ahead of something major. And I think it helps sometimes to exercise patience, but by the same measure, like, sometimes only okay mid-card stuff doesn't really feel like a placeholder. It just feels like only okay mid-card stuff. You can do something interesting, just not at the top of the card. I don't think this necessarily qualifies as that. This is the match I'm least looking forward to, if I'm honest, and I didn't think I'd be saying that about an Adam Cole match in August, in November. So that's honestly a bit of an indictment of, maybe it's my patience and he'll have the Page match at Revolution, it'll all be awesome, but, you know, week to week, you get the WWE brain and it just affects you. I'm only really looking forward to it on the basis that Orange Cassidy might try and do the boom thing, or like, you might try and do the thing where, you know, when Adam Cole does the thing with his arms before he points them in the sky, like Cassidy riffing on that and then getting bicycle pump kicked in the face, that should be good.
Or like, I don't know why this visual's popped into my head as well, mid-match Adam Cole doing the Adam Cole baby and getting a weirdly loud pop and thinking that's a bit strange, and he turns around, it's because Orange Cassidy's got his hands in the air about to put his hands in his pockets. Yeah. Basically,
I mean, that's the thing, it would be a wild pop regardless. Yeah. Like, Adam Cole could shag your ma and I would still go, Adam Cole, baby! Which is why, A, he's a megastar babyface and waiting, and B, I think that accounts for why people are being a little bit frustrated. Like, I don't think this is going to be a banger, but I think it'll be adequate fun.
Cole pins
an adequate amount of fun.
Cole pins Yuta?
Yes. And that's so obvious that... It just doesn't make this all the more. It doesn't feel like a premium attraction.
Mm.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I want to talk a little bit about something we discussed on the Dynamite review, actually, because we're around Thanksgiving and we give thanks for the fact that AEW's in existence. And if you want to read about how it came into existence, Becoming All Elite is the brilliant new book from Michael Sidgwick all about the rise of AEW, and it's available to pre-order now, whatculture.bigcartel.com. You can even get it signed by the man himself. But you made a point about a big problem that AEW needs to fix, actually related to the way they set up this Cassidy Yuta Fish Cole feud or match, I should say, and it's becoming a niggling issue for you with AEW, isn't it?
It is, yes. And I don't want to go over all ground because I did cover this on the Dynamite review, which, of course, if you've somehow missed, you can get wherever you get your podcasts from. The constant interruptions of backstage interviews just make the idea of an interview on a broadcast itself a farce, which in turn makes the idea of a broadcast just feel more like a show that is written and formatted and produced rather than a live event that you are pretending to capture. It's a key distinction. So I don't want to go over the idea of why I hate it, because I did that. I'll instead focus on what they can instead do to avoid everything adding up to make it feel less like this immersive world that you can suspend your disbelief and just watch. Two immediate things. This is just off the top of my head. Save certain things for a week. There's a million backstage beatdowns. There's a million interruptions and stuff. How about, like, instead of a backstage attack, the person doing the attacking just cuts a promo threatening the person and that promo doesn't get interrupted. So that is something I'm all in favor of. The New Japan Pro Wrestling approach is great. Mm-hmm. They hold mock press conferences after the end of each match where the wrestlers can give their comments. So it feels more like a sporting vibe. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's still wrestling. You still need to, like, promote your matches using words. So they do two birds with one stone. They get the promos, and they also maintain the idea that this is a sporting event that just happens to be captured by cameras. So those are two ways you can do it. And the other, the main thing, is treat matches less like conflicts and angles, but just simply fixtures. This is meant to be the sports-oriented league where wins and losses matter. It's not meant to be this wacky kind of universe of WWE where it, like, it almost acknowledges itself as a show, like, welcome to Monday Night Raw. Like, this is the opposite of that. But the more you do angles and angles and angles for the sake of it, like, just present things as fixtures. Because ultimately, do we need a storyline per se between... Am I built to something, right? But there's been several examples in the past where you get a backstage interrupted angle. Oh, I hate you suddenly for doing this. Then they have a match and then it's kind of all forgotten about. Why not just present it as a fixture? If all of this exists to reheat Adam Cole, just simply say, oh, there's going to be a match between Adam Cole and Bobby Fish because the fancy going up the tag ranks and they're going to have a match with Cassidy and Yuta. Did anyone listening to this podcast, like, respond below the Twitter post here? Did anyone listening to this podcast think, after that backstage interaction between Cole and Fish and the best friends, I can't wait for this match
now. Clear my schedule.
Clear my schedule. These guys really hate each other and I need to see that animosity in the ring. Did it do anything other than, oh, that match sounds good?
Which would have done if you just said it.
Exactly, which
fiction.
A match graphic would do the same job as. Other than, that match sounds like interesting enough. I'd like to see Cole and Cassidy interact. Did anyone think, these guys hate each other, I can't wait to see them settle it in the ring? Like, no.
To bring it back to the sort of sports-related thing, like you say, if you just had a Cole promo, instead of it being interrupted, instead of him having this weird thing where he's complaining about the situation that they're in and Cutler's filming him and then they interrupt it and that's the way they get around the invisible camera thing. If he'd have just said, or, you know, you'd had Tony Schiavone saying, which would have been incredibly brilliant and quite awkward as well. He's like, don't forget, later on I'm here with Britt Baker for the Thanksgiving thing. Yeah. But first I'm here with Adam Cole. And he's just fuming already about that. And he's like, I'm so pissed off with the state that we're in right now. And it's a bad time to be Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. He doesn't have to necessarily say he's got anything against them. He can say that Orange Cassidy's a bit.
You can easily link it.
Think about like in football, for example, when someone takes a big loss in the Champions League or whatever, and you go, bloody hell, I wouldn't want to be Norwich this week because they've got City and they've just got spanked by Barcelona or whatever it may be. That's the equivalent, effectively.
Indeed. Well, you could link the two. Just find a thematic link and not just do an angle for the sake of it. So in that scenario you just laid out, what if Adam Cole is exasperated at the fact that him and his boys, who are meant to be the super clique running the show, they're just being done in by a dinosaur, right? And what if, because it's just a fixture, because they're doing their job all in the course of potentially pursuing a tag team title, Adam Cole could say, I just got beat for goddamn dinosaur, and now I've been told I've got a slacker who doesn't take it seriously next. It's a comedy world, or just anything like that, that doesn't involve some really contrived angle. It's like, I've got dinosaurs, I've got slackers, I'm going to be fighting an astronaut next. What's next? I'm going to put an end to this now. The super click are going to get back. Or just something like that.
Exactly. One thing they have changed, which I quite like, is the way that they now announce matches for Dynamite on Rampage, which again makes it more sort of important viewing. What matches do you think they announce for next week off the back of this week's Dynamite?
I do miss the full rundown on Wednesday, but it's part and parcel of having Rampage in existence, which, you know, gives the company more money, gives you more content. It's just what it is now. I do miss, like, this match. And then this match. It's like, for 2 years, everyone was like Vince McMahon in the chair. You know that meme? Where he's like just coming out of his cack. And he just comes more and more because it's like, oh, you get this match on Dynamite. I'm interested. Yeah, and this one. Oh, we're talking now. And this one. Come cack. So I missed that. But it's a decent strategic bid to put it on air. I have to point it out in the Dynamite review that no one's really going to tune in to a TV show, right, to say what's going to be on the next TV show.
Yeah.
As much as like the real hardcores of AEW, of which I count myself, love that rundown. It's not like a big match ratings draw. It's just a really fun little bonus. But doing so, as Hamlet really astutely pointed out, doesn't take the shine off Rampage. Like, it's good, but it's not as good as Dynamite next week. So I do like that. But on the actual card itself, I've got a very cynical match to book that we can expect on Dynamite next week, as announced on Rampage tonight. Next week's Dynamite, I believe, emanates from Atlanta, Georgia.
Indeed.
There is a rich, wonderful territory history in Atlanta, Georgia, right? That Cody is enamored with. Cody loves Atlanta, from Atlanta, lives, I believe, in Atlanta. If he isn't on a match on this card, and he probably shouldn't have taken a goddamn DDT on exposed concrete, get SummerSlam 2010 vibes from that. I mean, at least it's a week and not like a minute and a half, John Cena, you prick. Cody's going to be on the show, right? They like to do region-specific stuff to, like, just, you know, motivate and please their independent contractors. So, like, the hometown wins or, like, the hometown matches. FTR aren't from Atlanta. They're from the Carolinas, but they are total, like, Atlanta territory nerds as well. So I think, for all those reasons and stemming from the existing storyline, we're going to see FTR versus Cody and Pac. There'll be more breakdowns between Cody and Pac, who've really only been together because they have this whole enemy of my enemy is my friend bollocks. And I think FTR beat Cody and Pac. Cody and Pac have a scrap in the aftermath. Pac is cheered at the expense of Cody in his hometown, effectively. And you get Pac versus Cody.
Yes.
It's the ultimate direction stemming from all this. And at this point, I'd really want Pac to go over, like, big time.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that's the right direction to go in, because, like you said, there are all these multiple amounts, accounts of miscommunication and what have you. I think that's right, as we sort of head towards that direction. I think FTR are the perfect team to to make the most of any issues between two members of a tag team. Yeah. So I really like that. And I assume...
Brian Danielson versus Anna Jay.
Brian Danielson. I was about to say Farouk versus whoever's from Atlanta. I know. Yeah, Anna Jay's one of them. I can't remember. I know...
Alan Angels.
I was going to say Alan Angels is from Georgia.
Yeah, because he was first brought in because... when they had to relocate and do like 6 weeks of tapings or whatever it was in the can early in the pandemic.
Yes, that's it.
Like Alan Angels was just like a young lad from Georgia who they just said, oh, well, if you're here, we can't fly in anybody else. So will you work Kenny Omega for 6 minutes?
And then it ruined Kenny Omega and you've not seen him since, you know?
Like the thing is, it's like, if that had happened on Dynamite in a normal world and Kenny Omega had done that in 6 minutes, it still wouldn't have been the end of the world. If they'd done that in January and they held a taping in Atlanta. And like, oh, Kenny Omega's in action and he has 6 minutes. Like, that still wouldn't have killed him at all. And yet they were operating with a 29% crew in Atlanta. So it was like, needs must. We need to fill TV time effectively. What else are you going to do?
I never looked back during his title reign and went, yeah, but what about that Animal Angels thing that's never been covered again? Which they did cover again, actually. Yeah.
And it'll add to the cruelty, like, I love how they've established that, you know, we're the babyface promotion, we're going to try and be the babyface promotion, so we're going to have hometown victories and all the rest of it. I love how this Danielson thing subverts that entirely, and he's just killing people in their hometown. It's great, great, great storytelling. No matter the result, these people are obviously overjoyed to wrestle in front of their own people, and... So it kind of works for both things. But those are the two matches I expect to see. And I'm not as good as a booker as Tony Khan, so I will limit it to that.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Also love how the coolest promotion in wrestling right now has a match. One of the two matches is Alan versus Brian. Like, it's just surreal to think that. I don't know why. But yeah, I think those two would be great matches. And I do hope they announce both of them tonight.
I have till 5:05. Say that, yeah. And then just face palm him and then kick his head in.
Right, finally. Oh, not a good day to be Daniel Garcia. This it's bad enough that you threw hot coffee in his face, but dropping Moxley's name and being flanked by those two dads who I love, but I know can needle quite a few people at 2.0.
You little prick.
Sad Eddie Kingston. He's going to take it all out on Garcia tonight, isn't he?
Yes, I'm incredibly interested in this match, not just because I anticipate the quality being like really high. Kingston's just been incredible in the ring this year. Garcia's like one of the best prospects. They have complementary styles, and that Daniel Garcia's stuff looks like it really hurts. Eddie Kingston can sell like very few can. This should be a great match. I'm really interested, however, in just how much of a star Eddie Kingston appears in it, because he's not just wrestling like CM Punk or a Miro or the Young Bucks, where he's really sort of felt as big a star they have in those matches, which is incredible when you're considering the level of talent, particularly the Punk match. It felt like he was as big a star as Punk in that moment. He was as popular, if not more than Punk. So that was a great test. This is an even bigger one. Can he really appear like the guy who's very much the star in this match, who's very much potentially a world champion caliber act in the next year? And can he really raise the roof against someone who's essentially in AEW canon an up-and-comer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a prodigy, but he's that as well. But I just want to see if this feels like just a really, really major top line star given like an up and comer a rub, rather than a mid card guy and an undercard guy having a great match. There's a difference, and it's all on the feeling, and I really hope to feel it.
Nice spot for you, I've thought of. Because it sort of works for both people. Daniel Garcia, because he knows he's sort of in Eddie Kingston's head, and that he's mentioned his best mate, who's obviously in a tough place right now, and our thoughts are still with Mox and his friends and family, of course. Eddie Kingston goes for the paradigm shift and Garcia reverses it because he knows that he was going to do that because he was new. He was going to try and do something dedicated.
Oh, Wilborn. As good as anything I've come up with on these fantasy book and nerd moments.
But yeah.
I love that.
I hope we see something along those lines. Quick question before we wrap up. Main event, which one is it for you? Out of Baker and Riho and Kingston and Garcia, I assume.
I mean, I love Eddie Kingston as much as the next guy, but if you look on a pure quarter hour basis, and if you look at what happened the last time Baker was on Dynamite, she got the best quarter hour. She was, first to get the last quarter hour being the best, so Baker's a star, put her on last.
It's difficult as well, because with Rampage, it's like sometimes they put the most important stuff first, because it's not the same as a Dynamite where you save the best till last.
But the most impressive recent rating was the Baker Abaddon main event, so
there you go.
Why abandon that formula?
Fair point. Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
And you can order his brilliant new book all about AEW, WhatCulture.BigCartel.com. And go and check out our podcast about it. It's really interesting. We recorded it yesterday with myself, Sig, and Cleary. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We'll be back on Monday to review AEW Rampage. Available right now is our preview of SmackDown, and we'll be back later on today with a very special episode of Wrestle Culture as well. But for now, this has been the AEW Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.